Well, we're in a series, in the middle of a series, actually, on the Holy Spirit, and we're dealing with things like the presence of the Holy Spirit. We looked at last week, and today we're looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the New Testament, the Greek word translated as spirit is the word pneuma, and it means a current of air. It means a blast of breath or a strong breeze. The Holy Spirit is like the wind of God, is another way to look at it. Sometimes he comes as a gentle breeze in our lives. Other times it's a mighty rushing wind of power. Again, the last time we met, we looked at, about the subject, we looked at the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today I want to talk to you again about the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see the power of the Spirit working in countless different ways. The Holy Spirit one time gave Joseph skill to rule over Egypt. He gave Joshua military power. Another time, the Spirit gave two unknown men the power to work in their crafts for his glory. The Holy Spirit gave words to prophets to speak prophetically over God's people. One time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and gave him power to lead the people into battle. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power, so powerful that he tore a lion in half with his bare hands. We see the power of the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament as well. In fact, Jesus himself, the Bible says, was conceived by the Holy Spirit's power. When Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God was raised from the dead again by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised his followers that he would send them a gift. If you have your Bible with you today or you want to watch online here, we're going to open to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, the book is called the Acts because it's the Acts or the actions of the apostles. In fact, the only acts that Jesus physically performs in this book is that of ascending unto heaven and then sending his Holy Spirit. Therefore, this book is a really good example, wonderful example of how God can use his people to do powerful exploits for him through his Spirit. But it opens by letting us know this is actually volume 2. Of a two-volume work by the author Luke. Acts 1, first two verses say, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit." See, the book of Luke talked about life from the very birth and conception of Jesus all the way up to his ascension. And the last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he left was in Luke 24:49. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So in Acts, Jesus is no longer with them in the flesh. They now must fulfill the gospel without him doing it for them. So what was this promised gift? They and we would receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. You can imagine the dunamis means a very powerful force. It's a supernatural force. It's a miraculous power. It means the explosive power of God comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm curious, how many of you could say here in this room today or those online know someone who's a Christian that seems to have more spiritual power than you do? How many of you could say, "I know someone like that"? I know I can. Sometimes you'll see other people and they seem to have just a little bit more of something than you do spiritually. Like when they pray, their prayers sound so powerful, you think, you know, if I were God, I would certainly answer his prayers because they just sound so powerful. Others seem to know a Bible verse for everything. And you're like, how do they do that? They don't go look it up. They know it in memory, right? Or when something happens and something goes wrong, somebody may be not shaken by it at all. They're rock solid. They seem to have this real, deep, spiritual assurance. And you're wondering, how is it they seem to have more power than I do? The answer could be they actually do have more power than you do. You know, several years ago, actually I think it was just a couple years ago, I had to remove some fruit trees on our property that had died. And I figured it really couldn't be that hard. So I put on some work gloves, grabbed my favorite shovel, and started attacking the trees. The problem was, though they were dead, they still had massively deep roots into the ground. And it didn't take me long to realize that what I thought was going to take a few hours was going to take a few days, possibly weeks, to get this mini orchard. How many did we have? A dozen trees or so up out of the ground and taken away. The next day, I got to talking it over with a neighbor. And he suggested, "Well, how about we hook them up to my truck with chains and pull them out?" And my response was, huh? And I'm like, how, would that work? And he said, sure, let's try it. So here he was, and within 45 minutes, we had all the trees gone. They were picked up out of the ground. I was so thankful that he had this great idea, right? 45 minutes instead of weeks. I'm still thankful today, because if we hadn't had that first conversation, and if he hadn't had the brilliant idea of pulling trees out with his truck, I might still be with there with my little gloves and my little shovel and fighting this impossible task of taking these trees out of the ground. You know, Christians today all over the world put on their little work gloves and they take out their little shovels and they say, we are going to live the Christian life by ourselves, on our own power. And in their own strength, they strive and they fight and they battle and they don't get very far. Why is that? Because they're trying to live the Christian life in their own strength, when there is a far greater power available if we would just take advantage of it. Romans 8:11 talks about this power. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. You and I can be filled with the same powerful Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead. That's power. And we live a supernatural life in a very natural world. And yet so many of us, we still reach for our shovels and our work gloves, and we're just going to tackle it on our own. We'll get through this. God, if you can just hang back, watch what I'm doing. If I see something me doing wrong, then come and warn me. But otherwise, I've got this. And we struggle without the power available through the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 says, but in fact, and we read about this last time, but in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, as we go back to chapter 1 of Acts, Luke goes on to talk about John the Baptist, verse 5. John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word translated as baptized is the word baptisto, right? And this word means to immerse. And that's why when we baptize someone here at Maranatha, we immerse them. We dunk them. And if you've had a really bad, sinful life, I'll maybe hold you underwater a little longer. But we immerse for baptism. That's what baptisto means. Jesus didn't just say, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to be baptisto with the Holy Spirit. Not only are you going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he says you're going to be filled. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be overcome with his power. You're going to be immersed in this powerful Holy Spirit of God. What's going to happen when this takes place? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it will baptize you, and you will have dunamis. You will have the explosive power of God available to you. Now, what will you be able to do? He said they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and throughout Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth. And you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? I mean, we're called to do the same thing. But see, you have to remember exactly who Jesus was talking to at that very moment. He was talking to his disciples who, for the last 3 years, couldn't really get much done right. Over and over again, he said, don't you guys get it? You're with me, and yet you still have such little faith. Never once do we read in Scripture that he said to his disciples, man, you guys have such great faith. I can't even wonder why I'm here. You don't need me. He never said that to his disciples. Peter, kind of a ringleader for the group, he said, Jesus, I'm with you all the time. I am never going to leave you. And then right before the cross, three times, Peter denied Jesus. At the cross, after Jesus had already said, I'm going to give my life, only one of the 12 bothered to show up, John. The others were hiding. They were cowering in fear. Jesus died. He rose from the grave. And where were his fearless disciples when he returned? They were hiding in a locked room, scared to death of the Jewish authorities. After most of the disciples had seen Jesus at that point, Thomas, who'd heard from the other 10 he was back, still saw him, said, I still don't believe until he actually touched his scar. And this is the group that Jesus looked at and said, you will have power to take this message all over the world. With about 2.42 billion Christians around the world, how did Christianity grow from 12 fearful men to become the largest religious group in the entire world? because the Holy Spirit came upon very ordinary power, a people, and gave them extraordinary power to take his message all over the world. And that same powerful Spirit is available today to everyone who believes. We need to take off our little gloves. We need to put down our little shovels. We need to stop doing the Christian life in our own limited strength and instead surrender to the unlimited power of God's Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about the power of the Spirit in spiritual gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit. But this week, I want to show you, before we leave here this morning, four distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give to all believers, you and I. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to share Christ boldly. I don't know about you, but sometimes I myself get very nervous about having to share Jesus with somebody. It is kind of a threatening thing. I never know. Are they going to say no? Are they just politely? Or are they going to scream in my face? Am I going to get the door slammed on me? The phone slammed back down on me? Look at the words of Paul. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5 says, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." He said, look, I'm not the most eloquent speaker around, but when you saw me show up, the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And quite honestly, that is what I have to rely upon every single week as well when I'm up here. I am surely not the best or the smartest speaker by far. Nothing. But God can take my words, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, customize them in a way that would speak directly into people's lives. I read where a young pastor got up and gave his very first sermon to his local congregation there. And afterwards, this old lady came up to him and said, "Young man, that sermon wasn't half bad." He said, "Well, thank you." And trying to be humble, he said, "You know, it was actually all the Holy Spirit." And she said, "Young man, if it was all the Holy Spirit, it would have been really good." I said, "It wasn't half bad." Probably a lot of truth in what she said. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to communicate the message of Christ in a life-transforming way we can share with others. Somebody here in this room, I know, is involved in trying to share the faith with somebody who is challenged by the practical realities of our faith. And it is Christ's power through the Holy Spirit which allows us to get that done. Secondly, he'll give you power when you're weak. This is going to speak to some of you. He'll give you power when you are weak. Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Now, how does he help us in our weaknesses? Too many ways to count, actually, but one of them is this. He prays for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we are weak. Here's the deal. Many of you got your gloves on, you got your shovel in your hand, but where you're weak is where God's Spirit is made perfect. When we get to the end of our strength, the Holy Spirit is strong where we cannot be strong. He gives us power in our weakness. You may be a parent and you're going, "I don't know what to do with these kids. They're just way too much." And the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. Just ask him. You may have a presentation coming up at work or at school, and you're like, "I am the worst in front of people. I panic, I freeze, my voice will shake. Oh my, I'm not sure what I'll do." Ask the Holy Spirit, and where you are weak, he can be strong. You may have a sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, and you've been taking the little shovel and the work gloves, and you've been working so hard. Well, the Holy Spirit of God can give you power when you're weak. Call on him. Look at what the Bible says here. I love this. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. "To keep me from becoming proud," Paul says, "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen? When we're at our weakest is where God can work the hardest. He's strong when we are weak. So he gives you power to share Christ boldly. He gives you power when you're weak. Thirdly, he'll give you power to have hope in hopeless situations. Romans 15:13. "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people today have very limited hope, you know. If you had held a glass of a little bit of water, it might illustrate hope. And we just have so much. It's a limited quantity. They're not overflowing with hope. They have very limited hope. If we put our hope in anything besides God, our hope is going to be limited. If we put our hope in ourselves, we have limited hope. If we put our hope in other people, again, our hope is very limited. If we put our hope in our circumstances will only take us so far. Our hope is limited because it's not put into an unlimited God. The good news is, though, if you put your hope in God, He can cause you to overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. If you're hurting today, if you're afraid, put your hope in God. Let Him overflow your life with joy and hope by His Spirit. Let's say you lose your job. Continue to put your hope in God, and He will be your provider. If you find out that someone you love is sick, continue to put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be the healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you lose someone you love, much as it hurts, we don't have to grieve like those who have no hope. We can put our hope in God and the promise of the resurrection and glory eternally in heaven. If you're hurting today, put your hope in God. The Holy Spirit will give you power to share Christ boldly. He'll give you power where you're weak. He'll give you power to have hope in a hopeless world. And fourthly, He'll give you the power to experience the fullness of God. You know, Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesus, and I pray the same prayer for our church family here, for you and for me. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Some of you may be asking, what in the world does that mean? The fullness of life and the power that comes from God. See, I believe so many people today have reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominators. Basically, Christianity for many people is like this. Yeah, I believe in God. Check that box. I did the Jesus prayer thing. Check. I may have got baptized, joined a church. I read the Bible now and then. And then maybe kind of, sort of, I try to be a good person most of the time. Check, check, check. And that's what we look for. We look for the least things that we need to be ready for. But when you look at the lives of so many Christians, what do you see? It really doesn't look much different than the rest of the world, does it? Still hurting, still addicted, still struggling with worries, still broke, still filled with no real faith, no real victory. Why is that? No power. So many people today don't really understand who God is and what He has for you and the power that is available to you and to me through His Holy Spirit. Now, we can go through life and never experience that power, but that's our fault, not His, because we don't strive to reach out for it. We don't ask God to send His Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done. The Holy Spirit will give you power to experience all the fullness of God. If you've ever wondered, is there more to Christianity? The answer is yes. There's so much more than just accepting Jesus and walking the way and picking up your gloves and shovel and taking on life on your own. There is the reality of the constant presence of God through the Holy Spirit that you can have with you, the peace that surpasses all human understanding and wisdom, that you can manifest the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that you can be led by the Spirit and walk by faith and not by sight, that you can have a joy unspeakable, that you can have a supernatural strength, that you can be rooted and established in the very secure love of Christ, that you can live a supernatural life in this very, very natural world. You can never do it by your own strength, but there's another power that's available. Call on Him and watch the Holy Spirit fill you, strengthen you, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, and be your intercessor as He empowers you to live the life that you are incapable of living on your own. Incapable for me to live on my own. one that will bring glory and honor to God in heaven. Let's pray.